Slăvit să fie Domnul! Vă invit să deschideți Sfânta Scriptură la 2 Timotei, capitolul 1, 2 Timothy, chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 8 and 9. 2 Timotei, capitolul 1, cu versetul 8, voi citi în engleză. Cuvântul Domnului spune așa: Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Amen. Vă invit cu respect să reocupați locurile. Domnul să binecuvinteze echipa de închinare care ne-a condus în această închinare într-un mod așa de frumos. În dimineața aceasta, fratele Aron Derechkei trebuia să predice în limba engleză, dar a fost în Japonia și pe lângă amintirile de la Mount Fuji care le-a adus, a adus și un virus și este bolnav și n-a putut să aducă cuvântul Domnului și mă rog ca Domnul să-l binecuvânteze acolo unde este. I've entitled my message, Called by God. You see, a truly blessed and fulfilled life doesn't just happen. It's not a matter of luck, as the world would say. It's not a matter of circumstance. But a blessed life, a fulfilled life, is really the sum result of all of our decisions. And most people don't realize that. You see, every single time that the Word of God is being preached, every one of us really make a decision about that Word, whether we realize it or not. Some of us make a decision to not pay attention, and there's going to be consequences. Some of us hear the Word, and we think, that's a good Word. I'll do that later. Some of us say, well, you know, I'll do something close to that. Some will decide to not do the word at all. And very few are the ones that say, Lord, is this what your word says? I am committing myself fully and wholeheartedly to what your word says. And my first point this morning is that God is calling you, whoever you are. It says, God who has saved us and called us, with a holy calling. There isn't a person here that doesn't qualify. A calling could also be translated as an invitation or a summons that God is making. You know, there's a sad reality today that we have thousands and thousands of Christians who are saved, who believe in the sacrifice of Jesus at the cross, but have no idea what their calling is. Sometimes they're not even aware that there is a calling. When Jesus called Peter, he didn't just call him to be saved. He said, okay, yes, I'm calling you to salvation, but I'm calling you for a purpose. I am making you a fisher of men. I was just in Canada 2 weeks ago, and one of the conference banners was a telephone, one of those old rotary telephones, and it spoke so deeply to me because really that telephone was profound in a meaning that it was trying to convey. Jesus often spoke in parables with very familiar language that the people of his day could really identify and understand. So he used images that they would understand in order for him to give them very profound and deep truth. He wasn't interested in impressing people. He wanted to make sure that they understood what he was trying to say. So he used the example of a farmer. They were an agricultural society. He used the example of a sower that went out to sow the seed. He used an example of a father, the relationship in the family. And really, in this instance, the phone represented the heart. And imagine that your heart is represented by a phone. And God Almighty is placing a call. And it isn't one of those tones that makes you jump. It's a very gentle tone. It's that still, small voice of the Spirit. And God is calling to give you a calling, a purpose. The sad reality today is that most people, they come to church, they hear the word, they sense the tug of the Spirit in their hearts, they know it's God. Something inside says, that's right. They're just a pool. The lyrics from the songs that are inspired by the word that is being preached, when you read your Bible, something there just tugs at your heart and people just think, oh, I'm just having a wonderful moment with the Lord. But really, the whole idea is to pick up the phone to answer to that call. Most people don't realize that there's no guarantee that God is going to keep calling. There's no guarantee that you'll sense that tomorrow. You may never sense that still small voice ever again. The reality is that the Holy Spirit comes and sensitizes our hearts so that we can sense the Spirit, so that we can respond. But if we constantly just ignore it, and I ignore it today and I ignore it tomorrow, something happens to the material of our hearts, if you will, where it starts to harden. And as it hardens, even though God is calling, you don't sense it anymore. You'll come to church and you're not moved. You'll read the word and it won't move you. I have a very vivid image when it comes to this. I remember being, I think it was 2004 or 2005, we were at a youth conference in Atlanta. And on the very last night, there was an altar call. People were called, you know, those young people were called to come to the front, to give their lives to Jesus, to answer to the call of God. And I remember that we were late. It was running late, typical Romanian convention. And people went up front, and there was hundreds, I think, that went up front that night. And with two other pastors, we were supposed to meet at someone's house right afterwards. And we, right in front of us, we're talking a minute in front of us, as we were driving, we recognized the car. And there was a car accident. And one of the girls that was there at that conference that night, that came up to the front and gave her life to Jesus and responded to that call, died instantaneously. Not even 20 minutes after she had just responded. And I'm thinking, what if she would have said, there's time? There wasn't another chance. It's such a tragedy to trespass on the grace of God. It's discourteous. It's impolite to not respond to God. Too many people today confuse being religious with going to church, and they think that that's obedience to the call of God. God didn't call us to be good church members, although we need to be good church members. God didn't call us to come to church to have a wonderful time. It's wonderful. It's good for us to have a wonderful time, but that's not the primary purpose. What's the primary purpose? We come to church, we come here to be equipped. For what reason? For the work of the ministry, for your calling, for the purpose that God has for you. And the question is, what are you doing about the call of God for your life? Which category do you find yourself in? The answering category or the ignoring category? We often cherry pick Bible verses. You know, people have Bible verses that they say, this is our family's Bible verse. This is our marriage Bible verse. And they put it on their fridge. And it's as if we can cherry pick certain promises from the Bible. And we think, you know what? Claim it and it's yours. And it's not quite like that. God, for example, people claim God works everything for good. Well, not really. God doesn't work everything for good in our lives just so we can have a great life. God does, however, work all things for good, but only for a single category of people, for those who are in their God-ordained calling. People often take this verse out of context, and then they wonder why God's word doesn't work. You see, when we respond to the call of God, his specific call, his purpose for our lives, we suddenly find ourselves in a special category of people. Romans chapter 8 with verse 28. And this is the verse that we quote. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Amen. But this verse is qualified. This promise is qualified to a certain category of people. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to a special category of people, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. to the people that not only are saved, but have come into the purposes of God, into the calling that he has for them. We don't have time this morning, but God foreknew us. He knew us from eternity. He's outside of time. He chose us. He predestined us. And when we read predestination in the Bible, what it means is that God has a specific purpose. He predestined you with a reason, with a scope, with a work that you have to do. And then at a certain point in time, he came and called us to that purpose. That's what it means to be called. He foreknew us outside of time. He chose us. He predestined us for a specific purpose, for a work that we're to do. And the calling is the moment that comes. He intervenes in our lives after we're saved and says, David, John, Vasile, this is the calling. This is the purpose that I have for you. It is amazing how well God knows us. It says in the Bible that he knows the number of hairs on your head. I looked up, and somebody looked into the original what that means. What it means is that God has a number for every one of our hairs on our heads. So when hair number 783 falls to the ground, God knows about it. He doesn't sit there to count them. He knows their number. Each one has a number. He knows all the stars, the trillions of stars that are in the universe by name. It says in the word that when a sparrow falls to the ground, God knows about it. Someone said that God attends the funeral of a sparrow. What does that mean? God knows you. He knows you and me intimately. He has intimate knowledge of every detail. And based on his foreknowledge and his knowledge, he calls us. He calls us with a purpose. To be predestined, it means that God plans the course of your life in advance. But this course is in his calling, in his purpose. And what the word says is that our destiny is impacted by how we respond to the call of God. He has a call for us. He has a destiny that's from eternity. It's not new. We're the ones that find out about it as he calls us. And the moment that we respond to the call of God, everything changes in our lives. There's a big difference between being called and being saved. Yes, we are called and we are saved, but when he saves us for a purpose. You can be saved and not know your calling. You can be saved and not be in your divinely ordained calling. And we need to say something here. We can only respond to the call of God. We can't initiate anything. We can't take the initiative. Notice the order. John chapter 15 with verse 16. This is Jesus speaking. And he tells the disciples, and he tells us today, you did not choose me. God took the initiative to save us. He's the one that reached down and said, I am here to save you. We didn't come to God. It wasn't our idea. It was his. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. But notice the second part, the calling, and appointed you. He reached out and saved us, and he reaches out to give us a calling. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you or called you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. Notice how we get answer to prayer. This is for a very specific category of people. People who are saved, who've received God's salvation, people who receive their calling, their appointment, if you will, and those people, as they start to walk in the call of God, they bear fruit, their life is fruitful, and then they have this access to the Father. Whatever they ask in the name of Jesus, they're granted. Notice the initiative belongs to God alone. Our only part is to respond. You can be nominated by your peers. You can be elected in a church and not be called by God. And if you're not called by God, you may have a title, you may have a position, but you will definitely not bear any fruit. You see, the people that are saved by God, chosen by God, appointed by God, the purpose is that they would go and bear fruit. That's the definition of a fruitful life. See, you see, Christians who are not called to a task but proceed, they don't help. All their works are dead works. They're out of the flesh. They're not born out of the spirit. They take the spot of somebody else who is called to that spot. They miss out on their own calling because they have a calling as well. And in fact, instead of helping the kingdom, they hinder the work. And my message for this morning is that we would look to God and say, Lord, you reach down to me and you save me. It was your initiative, Lord. It wasn't mine. And I know that you have a calling for me. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you know the calling that God has for you, but he has it. And just like you reached out and you felt a tug at your heart and you responded to salvation, we need to do exactly the same when it comes to our calling. I invite you all to stand. Vă invit să ne ridicăm în picioare. Să venim înaintea Domnului în rugăciune, să-i mulțumim Domnului pentru această dimineață și să-i spunem Domnului că vrem să fim în chemarea care o are pentru noi, pentru fiecare din noi. Și după ce rugăciunea va încheia, rog pe fratele păstor Isaac Moise să vină în față, să mulțumească Domnului pentru această zi. Cu toții să ne rugăm.